God with us, Emmanuel. Reading the Christmas story beginning in Matthew chapter 1. This is how the birth of Jesus Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." And this all took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Matthew 1, 18 through 25. Luke chapter 2. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census would be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee, to Judea, to Bethlehem, to the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He was there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him, and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, fear not. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah. He is the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angels, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven. Glory to God. And on earth, peace to all those on whom his favor rests. And on earth, peace to those in whom on his favor rests." When the angel left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see these things that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told to them about the child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds had told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, and she pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 20. Matthew chapter 2. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi, wise men from the east, came to Jerusalem. And they asked, "Where is this one who has been born the King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and the teachers of the law, he asked them, "Where is this Messiah to be born?" "While in Bethlehem of Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judea. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time that the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search carefully for this child. And as soon as you find him, report back to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star that they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was laying. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child was the mother Mary, and they bowed and they worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. And when they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up," the angel said. "Take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and they fled to Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I have called my son." Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 15. Every year I look forward to the reading of the Christmas story from the Gospels. Their truth, their innocence, their poetry never grows old. Because at the same time as I enjoy them, I see a growing resentment sometimes to the story of Christmas in what many days, in many ways, has become a commerce day, an attempt to avoid who Christ is and make it anything but a Christmas. I recently had read an article out of Inc. magazine. It's an online journal for business and entrepreneurs. And it gave this great advice. January is a very slow time of year. Save your Christmas parties till January, because then you don't need a tree and you don't have to call it Christmas. And it's not divisive and it includes all. Now, I could be upset about this, but I admire their honesty. Because Inc. knows what the world knows, what is undeniable. Christmas is all about Christ. And you can make it a commerce holiday. You can say it's for everyone, but it is undeniably a religious experience based on the birth of Christ. So then we should ask ourselves, in a world that is often wanting to avoid Christmas, how shall we respond? Since in this nativity scene, we see the humility, the small beginnings of our Lord Jesus in this Christmas story and tradition. But some would say the nativity never happened. And I would say, yes, technically you are correct. And I get to use big words because, see, the nativity is really a metonymy. And of course, you're asking, what's that? It is a type of metaphor where you bring all the different parts together to form a whole. You see, when we say the White House, who are we talking about? The president, the chief of staff, the party in power? The White House itself doesn't speak, but it represents the greater whole. You see, the metonymy of the nativity, it represents the whole story over a specific period of time, even though all things might not have happened once, a conglomeration of separate activities about the wonder and birth of Christ, the hope and purpose that he brings in one setting that we can all see. It is for today, it was for yesterday, and it is for tomorrow. So let us address some of the questions of this humble beginning, because they cannot be ignored. Who were the wise men, and were there three? Who was all there at the time of the birth? Was it an inn or was it a cave? What was that star? And what is the actual date of Christmas? So three wise men, I would think it was some huge entourage. Three men simply wouldn't go off on their own. We say three because of the three gifts, and we even can debate what the gifts were for. Were they anointing? Were they medicinal? Were they gifts of great value to show? Because see, when they saw Jesus, they bowed and worshiped. And what were these magi, these wisdom seekers? Were they wizards? Were they sages? Seers? We don't know. We're not even sure where they came from. Was it from ancient Babylon, having come across the Jews in their writings when the Jews were exiled there? Or they from another place? We're not sure. And what was the time of this birth? Why December 25th? An arbitrary day. Some say it's because the Christian church wanted to overtake a Roman holiday, Saturnalis. And some say that's not even true, it's possible. And there's a theory that the Jews would base the 9 months off the supposed conception of Jesus, and it would bring us to December. We'll really never know, but it's an interesting thought. And when did the wise men get there? Who was all there? In the nativity, you see the angels, you see the shepherds, you see the animals. And you know, the animals are never mentioned. But there's a reason for that. And we see the wise men. And some will say the wise men didn't come for some 2 years later. But really, with some of the Greek terms that would bore you tonight if I was to discuss them, they could have come when he was a two-year-old child, or they could have come when he was a baby. So we're not sure. And then, was it an inn or a cave or a guest room? The word inn is used because technically, again, the word is guest room. And so most likely, all these people are traveling to their hometown. They're overcrowded. They probably have relatives there. And imagine if you showed up unannounced when everybody is coming to town. Where would your family put you? All the rooms are taken. But see, there would be a front room in a Jewish home. When I was in Israel, we were in Nazareth, and we were shown what a model house would have looked like. And there was the main room, and you walk in, kind of like a porch, and a kitchen, and side rooms. But in that main room kitchen up front, unlike us today, they wouldn't have the dogs and cats there. They might have the sheep and the goats and a camel. Because it was the front room, a fire would be there, and there would be certain animals that would be there also. And since there was no guest room left, they would probably stay in that front porch or kitchen with the animals. And what about that wacky star? There's all kinds of writings. I could even show you an article from the Royal Astronomical Society making an argument that it's a comet. But it says it's a star, but this isn't a scientific definition, because even today we say the largest star in the sky, which isn't a star at all, it's the planet Venus. And this wacky star has all the traits. Well, it has the traits of what? What kind of comet? What kind of supernova? What kind of meteor flies like that? My personal opinion, my preference, it was an angel. And to the mere mortal on earth, it would look not like a heavenly being, but as a guided star to show him to the place. So, it's good to know these things, because sometimes with the difficulty people have with Christmas, sometimes an outright hostility, and just questions when people ask, it's nice to know what we believe and how it all comes together. Because really, the nativity and what we see there represents the humble beginning of our Lord Jesus. All the pieces coming together, showing the humility of Christ, something that we may truly never be able to comprehend on this side or even in eternity. But in the Nativity, we can see it in a way we can understand. It is the reality of his birth. A humble start that reaches back before moving forward. From Micah 5:2. But you, Bethlehem, though you were small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times. The humility of nothing great, of the least, no paparazzi to bother the family, no special anointing, rather simply put in an extra room that you just happen to have, that is also works as your stable. But then there is so much more, reading from Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 through 7. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of his greatness, of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Almighty Lord will accomplish this. The glory of our Lord Jesus, royalty, leadership, power, beginning in humility and raised up in power. Jesus' own words that would state, and the last shall be first, and the first shall be last. In the Nativity, we see the sentence of God, the Missio Dei, Latin for the mission or sentence of God, that the Trinity, the triune nature of God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, sends from themselves Jesus Christ the Son, flesh incarnate. Echoes the Nativity, reverberating forward. For hope for all who place their hope in Jesus Christ. Not based on circumstance, not based on the economy or our government, but rather Emmanuel, God with us. For today and forward we look to his return, Christ bringing his new heaven and new earth. But until then, until this full advent, we look back to his nativity. So we finish a difficult year. A year possibly that will be replaced by another difficult year, and possibly even more difficult. Is there relief in sight? I don't know. Few do, and even those who think they do, I could easily say they might be wrong. But what we are called to, where we should place our hope, as it says in Micah 6:8, we are called to act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with our God, to understand his power and yet his insignificance, that he came as the disrespected, the humility of the neglected, but all that simply hides his power and glory. So we look back at Christmas, to the birth of Christ. We see the Nativity and all its parts coming together. And it calls us to look forward to his hope and glory in him. We look forward this Christmas day. We look forward to 2023. And in Christ, regardless of circumstance, we look forward to hope and purpose. And we look forward that his advent will come again and we will rule and reign with him as believers and children of God. Let us bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you tonight. We thank you for the blessing of this Christmas Eve service. We thank you for your birth. And Lord, we pray that we would not only celebrate it in tradition and in your glory, but Lord, that we would take this message in our heart to a world that is in deep need of your redemptive love and your gift. Lord, let us be your messengers or angels to a world that needs to hear of your grace, mercy, and love. We pray this in your holy name. Amen.